I want to talk about the guidance of the Lord, because we're seeking His guidance as a church. I know many of you are seeking His guidance as individuals. And I believe the Lord guides, don't you? Last week we looked at Abraham, who left Ur of the Chaldees, got as far as Haran, which was halfway, and it was such a good place he stayed there for a while until his father passed away. Then he went to the promised land. But this man of faith left everything he knew, left all the comforts of home, and stepped out and followed the Lord into he didn't know what. And even when his father passed away at Haran, something inside him says, you've got to keep going. God has more. God has more. There's more out there. But I believe we need to know the guidance of the Lord, because I don't want to step out and do my own thing. And we do this all the time, don't we? We step out and we do something. We say, God bless that. But we never asked him in the first place if that's what he wanted us to do. I think the wise move is to say, Lord, what do you want? And then act accordingly in obedience. So, I believe God, he leads us, he guides us, sometimes dramatically, sometimes subtly. And for us as a church and individuals, we need to seek and follow the Lord's guidance in obedience. And like Abraham, sometimes we have to physically move. I believe that for this church, we have to physically move to a new place. I'll get to that in a moment. But timing is huge, but obedience is everything. And so I think we need to covenant, Lord, if you show us we need to move, we need to be ready to move. Do I hear a yes to that? Yes. Why don't you just join me in prayer for a moment? Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, that we will be people who are ready to step out in faith and to follow you to the ends of the earth. I ask that you will lead us and guide us as a people, as individuals, as families, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, please open to Exodus chapter 40. We're going to look at verse 34 to 38. Now, you might have this memorized. If you do, God bless you. You're better than I. But this is what it says. I want to talk about clouds today. Have you ever sat out there and looked at clouds? Yeah, I do this with Kaylee sometimes. We sit there in our little hammock and we look up and we say, and I say, look at that. That's, I can see, you know, a giraffe or something up there. And the things she says I can't see, and the things I see, I say she can't see. But it's so much fun just looking at clouds. They change all the time. And of course, on the Sunshine Coast, we have lots of clouds and they drop lots of water. I had someone complaining to me the other day. They said, it's supposed to be the Sunshine Coast. I said, well, you don't get gold on the Gold Coast, do you? Exodus 40 says this, when the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Who wants to see the glory of the Lord fill this place? Yeah, isn't that cool? I love that. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle throughout all their journeys. All the journeys of the people of Israel, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Isn't that exciting? There is a cloud, there is a pillar of fire we can follow. So here's the situation for the people of Israel. They'd escaped Egypt, the land of slavery. They'd seen miracles, they'd seen plagues, they'd seen the Passover. They fled tyranny and oppression. They fled the evil Pharaoh, and they made their way towards the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden their way forward was blocked by the Red Sea. They were jammed between a rock and a hard place, jammed in between, you know, going back they couldn't do. The Egyptians were pursuing them. Going forward they couldn't do. There was a sea in the way. They were terrified. They were confused. They were hopeless people. But God was right there in the midst of them, because he made his presence known by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. So whatever you're going through today, whether it's good or bad, if you're on top of the world or between a rock and a hard place, I tell you, God is right there with you. His presence is right there with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I want to look at the cloud and the fire, particularly the cloud, and ask, what does it actually represent to the people of Israel? They're sitting there, there's a cloud. So what are they saying? Are we going to get rained on? That's not what they're saying. Look at what the cloud represents. Number one, it represents God's presence. Exodus 13:22, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. See, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush. Then he revealed himself to the whole nation as a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. You could say, how do you know God's with us? That's how you know. The cloud's right there. And so they didn't sit around and say, I wonder if God is with us today. There was the cloud again. There was the fire by night. They knew God was there. See, today, God doesn't hang around with columns of cloud or fire. But those of us who know him can sense his presence. You ever been in a situation, maybe in church sometimes, when you're worshiping the Lord and you just know, you can just sense God is there. And that's what we want as the people of God. We want to know God's presence. People say we want God's presence, as in the presence he gives us. But we need God's presence, his presence with us. So Exodus 30 verse 15, God says this, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he, Moses, this is, said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. So Moses wanted the presence of God. The people needed the presence of God. And that's where we're at as a church. We recognize that God's presence is here. We see miracles all the time in the lives of our people. But we need God to lead us, don't we? I don't want to step out some way and find that it's not God. I want God to lead us. Now, if you look around at our room, you probably realize that we don't quite fit in here anymore. But I don't want a good idea. I want God's guidance as to where we go. Do I hear an amen to that? Amen. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this, you make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is an incredible joy you get just being in the presence of God, isn't there? I hope you get this at our church, but you ever gone to church and you walk away feeling like, wow, I've just been in God's presence. It's awesome. Well, we want to carry that presence everywhere with us, and we can because his name's the Holy Spirit who lives within us. The Israelites looked up and they saw the presence of God, and it must have given them faith for the future. They must have been a reassuring sign to the throng of escaped slaves that their God was present and was actively intervening and leading them in the wilderness. Now, the second thing that the cloud represents is God's promises. See, God had made promises to his chosen people, but like many promises, they're dependent upon people being obedient. Specifically for the people of Israel, God had promised to guide them out of slavery into their future, into the promised land. So Exodus 3 verse 8 says this, for example, God says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Marmites, and the Vegemites. And they were going to this incredible land of blessing, right? And so they were not just being taken out of slavery and dumped. They were being taken on this incredible journey into what God had for their future. And God has promised us a promised land too. He really has. I love looking at rainbows. Do you love rainbows? I'm so mad, like all due respect, but I'm so mad at the gay and lesbian group for stealing our rainbow. It's ours. Theirs only has six colors in it because that's man. Ours has seven, which is God. But ours is a promise. Ours is a promise from the Lord. And God loves making promises because he knows if we press into him and if we're obedient, he can bring them to pass. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says this, all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen. Yes and amen. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe God is leading us right now into the promises he has for us and an incredible destiny in 2021. Wouldn't you like to look back on 2021 as a time of great blessing when we moved into our destiny? Wouldn't you love that? People look on 2020 and they go, oh, what a terrible year. I don't know. I think it might have been setting up a cracker for 2021, don't you? I think that the way before us is great and glorious. And who cares about what went on in the past? We can look forward in our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the people of Israel, we need to follow the cloud and let the pillar of fire ignite our faith. Excuse the pun. The third thing about the pillar of cloud and fire is it was God's protection. If we move forward in obedience, we must believe that God will not abandon us. And I sense for us the cloud is moving right now. And I refuse to believe that God will lead us out of here and dump us somewhere, don't you? I think he's got a future for us as a church and for you as people. I refuse to believe that God will let us down. God protected the Israelites and he will also protect his people here at Ignite. So the Israelites faced with this Egyptian enemy bearing down on them, their backs against the sea, stuck between a rock and a hard place. The people were terrified, but it says this in Exodus 14, 13. Listen to this, this is cool. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation the Lord will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, you only have to be silent." I don't know about you, but that's hard, being silent. I want to be... And the Lord says, be silent. I believe he's going to provide for us. So what did the Lord God do? Exodus 14, 19. Listen to this. So they're stuck against the Red Sea. The Egyptians are bearing down on them. There is no hope in the natural. This is what happens. The angel of the Lord, the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, they follow the angel, the cloud and the fire. They followed it and then finished up with their backs against the wall. You say, well, God, what did you lead us here for? But then that very same cloud moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, if you watch Hollywood stuff, Moses goes like this, and the waters just go whoop. It took all night. And while God was arranging stuff, while God was setting the whole thing up, he moved his cloud and fire between them and the Egyptians to protect them. Isn't that exciting? That God will protect us, and sometimes we think that he's delayed. You know, God and I just don't seem to share the same watch or time zone half the time, you know, because everything I think should happen, it always seems longer. Doesn't it seem longer to you? And so, you know, I told the joke the other week about the guy who said, "Lord, if a thousand years is a day and a day is a thousand years in your sight, then probably $1 million is just a dollar. So, Lord, can I have a dollar?" God said, "Sure, just a minute." But, you know, he has a different perspective to us. He understands things differently to the way we do. But he put protection in place while he arranged stuff in the background for the miracle to happen. So the cloud moved behind the people, protecting them from the enemy. And when you step out and follow God, he will lead you, but he will also protect you. The prospect of our church moving to somewhere else is a little scary. But if God is God and if we obey him, his promises are sure and we need fear nothing. We really don't need to fear. Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Man, I love that verse. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. I can think of a million things that could go wrong, but God is holding us in his righteous right hand. He will uphold us as we obey him. The fourth thing about the cloud is it's God's provision. You see, God leads, he protects, he guides, but he also provides. See, once they passed through the Red Sea, once they saw that miracle and all the Egyptians, you know, down to the bottom of the ocean somewhere, they keep going and they're following the cloud. They're following the cloud. And once they saw the enemy destroyed, they experienced the miracle, but that was not the end. That was the beginning of the journey, not the end. It was the beginning. They had to keep trusting. They had to keep following the cloud and the fire into the unknown. So think about this. God manifests himself as a cloud and as a fire, but he's providing for his people in those things. The desert gets pretty darn hot at times. I haven't been over there to Israel and that part of the world, but those of you who have had, is it hot? Very hot. It can get very hot in the desert. And so what better provision than a cloud to cover you and protect you from the sunlight? and from heat, the scorching heat. Then at nights it gets very, very cold in the desert. Why not a pillar of fire to light the way and to give you some heat? You see, God was providing for his people. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." See, if we step out in faith to follow the Lord into our promised land, we can trust that God will supply all of our needs and that he will not let us down. So whatever it is that we need as a church to move, money, renovations, people, counsel, God will not fail us. I believe God will not fail us as you live for him. God will not fail for you. How many of you have stepped out and done something new, quite fearful, a little nervy, about what, if you've started a business, it's always a little bit nervous. You know, they said in the movies, build it and they will come. That's just not true. You can build it and no one can find it. So you've got, you step out in faith, and you, but sometimes at the start of a venture, you feel a little nervous. But how many of you have seen God provide for you in your home, in moving to a new area, in business? I have. How many of you have seen God provide for you like that way? So we know he can do it. All we have to do is keep in step with him and he will provide the way. The fifth thing is that God is God's precedence. He goes before us. When God leads us, he goes before us. So I'm not afraid for this church. I'm not afraid of loans or counsels or money or anything else. What I am afraid of is stepping out of God's will. That's what I'm afraid of, because I know that I'm a headstrong person at times, and I need to hear from the Lord, and I believe I have, which I'll get to in a moment. So the people faced a long journey to their promised land, and what did the Jewish people see? If you look in Exodus 40, it sort of summarizes, looks back on the whole Exodus book and talks about where they've come in their journey, but it says this, listen to this, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Wherever we go in life, if we are keeping in step with the Lord, he will lead us and guide us. I've got other messages that talk about the methods with which he does this. But I know he can lead us and guide us. And for us as a church, this is the most exciting time. We need to move, we know that, but we need to seek the Lord. And when and how is this to happen? That's what we need to seek him about. And right now, I believe that cloud over this church is rumbling. It's getting ready to go. So are you excited? Because I am. You know, there's a whole lot of shaking going on out there, and this thing's starting to rumble, and I know God is putting his finger on it and saying, this is the moment. So all we've got to do is follow the cloud. Woohoo! Follow that cloud. I don't know if you, I was just thinking, you ever seen those movies? I think it might have been the Pink Panther. He goes rushing up, he hops in a taxi, he says, follow that car, and the taxi driver hops out the car and runs after the car, and he goes, you know. But we need to follow the cloud. Did you know that scientists tell us that a dense fog of 1 acre, 100 feet deep, contains only one glass full of water? It's just dispersed into 600 billion tiny droplets. So God can use a glass of water to guide and protect his people. As one raindrop said to the other, two is company, three is a cloud. So there you go. We knew that was coming. But he can lead us and guide us and protect us. And you might say, that's just back in the Bible. He doesn't do that today. Well, let me beg to differ. I want to show you something from history where God used a cloud to bless and protect. On the 23rd of May, 1940, King George of Great Britain called the people of his nation to pray. Troops were stranded, facing certain destruction on the beaches of Dunkirk in France. Churches on that day, there's photographs of this, churches were overflowing. Everybody who was anybody went to church that day to pray for their people, for their soldiers and the British Expeditionary Force. So the churches were overflowing and people were praying for safety and deliverance according to what the king had asked. This is real. This is only a generation or two ago. Hitler was and his armies had forced the armies of Great Britain and France back into this small little area around the beach of Dunkirk. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But when they prayed, three inexplicable things happened. This is history, folks. This is three things that happen. Number one, Hitler inexplicably paused the Nazi assault, and that gave the troops time to get back onto the beach. So that was halfway. We don't know why Hitler did this. He just did it. It's a weird, quirky history thing, but we are thankful that he did it. And the troops were able to assemble on the beach, but they were still stranded and about to be decimated by the opposing forces. Then God stepped in and did two amazing things. Number one, he produced a cloud cover over the entire area, which stopped all the bombing and strafing raids of the Luftwaffe planes. So the men were there on the beach, and I think there was only two occasions when the planes got through and were able to actually fire at them. The rest of the time, they were completely protected by cloud cover. That was a miracle, and it happened when people prayed. The second miracle was the English Channel, which is a mess. Usually it is incredibly rough, was as smooth as glass for the period of a couple of days, right when they were praying. And 800 small boats joined other Navy ships, and they ferried 338 troops back to England. Winston Churchill, who was not a Christian, described it as the miracle of Dunkirk. God used a cloud to protect people on that day, and he can do the same now. He used a cloud to provide a way out for those people. He can do the same today. Exodus 13, 22 to 20, 21 to 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, did not depart from before the people. You see, the cloud is starting to move. He did it at Dunkirk. He did it for the people of Israel, and I believe he can do it for you and I today. That same cloud, if we follow the Lord, the cloud and the fire can lead us. See, God provided his presence, his promises, his protection, his provision, and then he preceded the people of Israel with cloud and with fire, and he's doing the same now. Now, I said last week, as we shared the message of Abraham, that he's calling us out of a place into a new place. We could easily stop halfway where it's comfortable. We could easily live in Haran. That's what Abraham did for a period of time. And as I look around at this place, yes, we're a little squashy, but we love close fellowship, don't we? Yeah. There you go. But I believe God has more. But it's easy to sit here and be comfortable. The mortgage is under control. People are happy, et cetera, et cetera. We could easily sit here, but I believe God has more for us. God has a way for us to impact our community. Is anybody excited about that? I don't want to be a holy huddle. I want to be reaching out to the people in our community and telling them the good news of Jesus. I want to be salt and light in our community. And if moving venue to somewhere else is going to do it, I'm in. I want to have an impact on this world, don't you? They interviewed a number of elderly people in their 90s. They said, if you could change one thing about your life, what would it be? One of the things was, I would take more risks. But the next thing they said was, I would do something that left a legacy for my children and their children. And we have the opportunity to build a legacy for future generations if we follow the Lord. Pillar of cloud and fire is moving for us, and the miracle is about to unfold. Now, we've had a slight glitch in proceeding. I wanted to tell you all the details of our new property today, and it's not quite there, and legally I can't do it, but I'll allude a lot. Is that okay? You don't mind me alluding? Let me take you on a brief journey that I've been going on as a pastor, and hopefully you understand. If you know a little bit of the history of this church, I stepped into this role about 5 years ago. One of the first things we encountered, and I've got many board members here, you'll remember this well, was that the previous pastor had signed a document he thought was an option to buy this property. It was actually an obligation. And we realized we had $20,000 in the bank, and it was going to take $350,000 deposit, and we had 9 months. So we had 9 months basically to raise $250,000, just over. It was an exciting start. I started with 42 people, and 7 told me it was their last time. Inauspicious start. But so from a small number of people, we had to trust the Lord for $250,000 in 9 months. Is that exciting? terrifying, terrifying. But he did it. And that's why we're sitting in this building today. We could have been bankrupted right at the start. And I said, God, if you make me pastor this church, you better not let me down. And he didn't. And I'm pleased to say that God provided for us. But God has spoken to me over the last many months, probably a couple of years, about us moving to a different venue. And I know that terrifies some of you. Some of you travel from afar and you're wondering, gosh, is he moving to the other side of the moon? No, we're not. We're not moving to Mullaney or anything like that. It will be about 5 minutes' drive from here, but that's not too far. But God's spoken to me about this over the last several months, and he's spoken from Scripture. I've got to tell you, I will not entertain moving our church based on a good idea or people's opinions or even a word of prophecy. I want Scripture. If we're going to do something, I need to have Scripture confirming this. I need to know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and I need to know that God is speaking to me from his word, and I believe he has. That's the exciting thing. Let me remind you that the people of Israel, when the cloud lifted, they followed. When it stopped, they stopped. And I want to be that in tune with the Lord too, that when he speaks, I hear and we obey. Anyone with me? Okay, so over the last little while, we'll talk about the past here, because this is some of the more recent history. Some of you newer folk here won't be aware of. About a couple of years ago, we wanted to move. We wanted to merge with another church that was shut down. We wanted to move to this place. Have you seen it on Howard Street? We thought, oh, that's a great place for a church, and different people were saying that's a great idea, etc. And we started the process. It's a big venue. Has no walk past trade, but a lot of drive past trade. And it had two tenants only at the time that were bringing in a small amount. But I really like the idea of someone paying my mortgage, don't you? Anybody up for that at home? Yes, thank you so much. Bring it on. It was a large shell of an auditorium kind of in behind that. Few issues. Council had real concerns about car parks, drainage, noise was an issue. It's basically an unlined tin shed, and there were houses right on the back, so we would have had to spend thousands of dollars soundproofing that, because apparently churches make noise. Who'd have thought? The owner wanted $1.75 million. We signed a contract knowing we could get out of it. It was valued at $1.2 million, so we were $500,000 short, and he wouldn't budge, so that was the end of it. And I don't know about you, I was excited about this prospect, and I was ready to move in. And God stopped it. I believe God stopped it. I didn't know COVID was coming, so it was kind of handy in the end. But that was where we were in the past. Let's talk about the need. We are clearly full. We are pressed for space. We can barely fit 120 people in the room. Looks a bit like that. I don't know where that is, but I'm that one. I'm that guy, person. Kids and families currently meet off-site, so we are divided. We're at best in a holding pattern. Parking is a disaster. Who had trouble parking this morning? Yeah, it's not great. Discussion groups are difficult because it's a smaller room. We need space, the final frontier. And this auditorium is not going to cut it for us. We've looked at every which way we could extend it, this way, this way, this way. We can add a few seats, but we can't solve the problem. And also, we're relatively unknown out here. We're out of touch with our community. With the community we long to reach, we're out of touch with. You know, I go down to people, people say, well, so which church are you at? Oh, at Ignite. Whereabouts is that? You know, Wombai, the... Oh, really? I'm standing in Wombai Shopping Centre. You don't know where Ignite is? Nope. We're flying under the radar here, folks. And I think we need to make more of a noise than that, don't you? So I believe we need to move into the centre, and it is still the centre of our community, which is Nambour. It's the hub of our community. Now, cities go through various cycles, as you probably know. Nambour is at the lowest point of its life cycle. It's a virtual ghost town in there. How many of you know that? Lots of vacant shops. But it won't be that way forever. because there are huge communities that live around the town of Nambour, not just in Nambour, but you've got everywhere. You've got Rosemount, Yandina, you've got Nambour Heights, you've got Coase Creek and Burnside, you've got Woombye, Palmwoods, Dadilabar. I mean, there's thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people probably living in and around this focal point. So it won't stay this way forever. Interestingly, talking to some of the people in Nambour, what has closed in Nambour is the smaller shops, the specialty shops. They've all moved to Maroochydore. You don't go to Nambour anymore to buy, you know, a fridge or a TV or something. You go, where do you go? Down to Maroochydore, right? But what hasn't gone is the big guys. Aldi, Woolies, Coal, they're all going gangbusters. So, you know, the town's not dead. It just looks it. But underneath, there is a real element of life. Once, one of the signs of a town, I've been talking to some real estate agents, say, what's going to turn a town around? What's going to turn a region around? What's the first sign you see when a region turns? He said this. It's when they decrease the number of rentals and increase the number of homeowners. That's one of the first signs, because in doing that, people start to take ownership of the town. They're not passing through, they take ownership of the town. That's one of the signs they look for. And at the moment, in this post-COVID boom, it's 20 or 30 to 1 homeowners over investors. Investment properties, this is our problem for Lily House. Investors looking for renters, it is at its lowest point. Some of you here are experiencing this at the moment. Its lowest point in history, at less than 0.5% vacancy rate. So, I mean, the world is changing here, folks, and lots of people are pouring into this area. So I believe the town is about to change. I think you'll see over the next several years, Nambour will reinvent itself and become a cafe precinct, probably a bit like West End or Paddington in Brisbane. You familiar with those places? They were old, dark, dingy, horrible, depressing areas that are now very chic and cool. And I think that our town's going to head that way. So I can't tell you the exact details of the property at the moment because of there's a legal reason for this, and I'm hoping to do it next week. Don't hold me to they've changed me twice, so I'm going third time lucky. Next week we're going to get the details. But I wanted to tell you what I think is the perfect property. I'm happy for you to speak into this, because I said, well, Lord, I want the perfect property. Here's my wish list. Go away and work on this, please. And what I wanted was ground floor. Yes? Because we've got Gabe and others. I want to make sure everyone can come to church. And those of you who do not enjoy tap dancing and sliding down our path, we get it at ground floor. Do I hear an amen to that? Secondly, I want ample parking. I would like a whole bunch of parks right outside the front door everyone can use on a Sunday. Yay! I mean parks that have blinds, not grass, like real ones with lines and tar and stuff. The third thing, this is really difficult. I want council approval for a church. We cannot operate in a place where council says a church cannot be. And let me tell you, they are pretty unreceptive to churches wanting to move. We've had a number of dealings with them. They will not change the zoning on this property. But we had a pre-lodgement meeting about the buildings that we're looking to go to. And listen to this. Council said, in principle, we do not have any issues with it. I'm reading green light right there. Anyway, I want a walking distance to public transport, because not everyone can get in. It'd be great if we had buses and trains and stuff there. And here's the cool one. I want it partially tenanted by existing tenants to pay the mortgage, because I love it when someone else pays my mortgage. Isaiah 61 verse 5, by the way, strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your ploughmen and vine dressers. I'll take it. Thank you so much. Someone else can pay my bills. I love it. It needs to be at least 200 to 250 square metres, which is roughly double the size of this auditorium. I want it easily found, easily seen and easily got to. And I want it to allow us to minister to people in our community. That's what I really would like. And I know some of you here have a heart for outreach on the streets. And if you outreach on the streets, it will be really handy to say, hey, you just gave your life to Jesus. Come and have a coffee with me right here. Wouldn't it? I'm not saying you all have to do it, but there's people in our church who love that sort of stuff. And I want to provide a vehicle where we can siphon people into the kingdom of God. Now, here's the thing. I believe we've found the property that fulfills all of these conditions. And that's very exciting. I'm dying to tell you about it, but I can't. It still hangs in the balance. Got to tell you, though, I really believe God has opened a door for us. This particular property, I'll just give you some hinty backgrounds about it. You will not find it on realestate.com, etc., because it is not there. We found this by a local real estate agent emailing something to Fiona, and she said, hey, look at this. It has not appeared on any of the big properties. I believe God has put this aside for us and shielded it so that we can get it. How cool is that? I'm happy with that. So we went in. I went in last week, end of the week before last, and I made a tentative offer on it. Well, I made an actual offer on it. It was a pretty low offer. It was far under what they wanted. And I thought, well, here we go. It took them a while to have a meeting, the owners, and they've come back to us. This is what they've said. They have verbally accepted the offer. It was quite low, so we're all stunned, but they've verbally accepted the offer. Do I hear a yay? Thank you. But they need to get a few ducks in a row with regards to leases of the current tenants, and so they've delayed signing it to this week. So God willing, next week, I will be able to stand here and give you all the details. I'm not trying to string you along every week, by the way. Come back next week for next week's exciting episode, you know. A little bit more out. No, I actually am longing to tell you, but I legally can't. So it was a delay in signing due to them getting their ducks in a row. But if the Lord wants us to have the property, I believe he's going to open the door, don't you? Now, some of you here are worried because I said the word contract. Let me explain to you how contracts work in this state. A contract ties the seller in, so there's nothing much they can do, but leaves 101 million ways the buyer can get out of it. So if anything goes wrong, we're sweet, costs us nothing. Isn't that cool? So any contract that we sign, which we have, contains a variety of clauses which allow us to get out without any obligation. It's not an obligation. I don't want to be in the same situation we were before. I want something a little better than that. So our contract depends on things like getting council approval, which will take several months. It depends on us selling this property and finance, building and pest, a host of other miracles. So I've taken our leadership teams and our board through the property. They are unanimously agreeing it's an excellent property. Just to whet your appetite, because I can't tell you the details, Here's what I can tell you. This property involves 7 ground floor shop fronts, of which we would use 2 as an auditorium and keep 5 to pay the bills. It has 9 upstairs offices. All of it is air conditioned, and it comprises an entire city block in the heart of Nambour. So God is on the move here, and this is well within our reach. Our God is well able. Are you excited? Some of you are going, wait till next week. That's all I can say. But we need miracles now. What I'm going to ask you to do this week for me, we're going to go to groups in a moment, but what I'm going to ask you to do this week is to pray for the future of the church and pray for this opportunity to happen. To purchase this property, we need a number of miracles. We have to sell this property, which on the face of it is very difficult. This property is zoned community. If it was zoned residential, we could sell it a dozen times over for much more. But it is zoned community, and council have told us they will not change the zoning on this, at least for the moment. So we need a miracle. We need someone to come along and say, I want to buy this as it is. We will get less money for it, but we need that special buyer. Or there may be alternatives around there. I know Lily House is looking for somewhere. Wouldn't it be great? I'll leave that there. But it will take miracles, absolute miracles, to do this. Who believes in a God of miracles? I do. This is so cool. What an exciting moment to be alive in this place. We have to gain council approval. How many of you know council approval is a difficult thing to gain at times? We had a meeting, this pre-lodgement meeting with council. Man, I just about pulled the small amount of hair I have left out trying to deal with these folks. But they have all these objections and everything else. They're telegraphing to us at the moment that there are no issues with sound, which is big, because we don't have to soundproof anything. It's actually it's been dubbed an entertainment precinct. I said, that fits. My sermons are very entertaining. I like it. But it's an entertainment precinct. So we haven't got to do anything about sound. We haven't got to do anything. There is a flood warning. We don't have to do anything about flood, really. It's pretty well catered for. They're happy with that. They do want us to do something about car parking. They want us to put in a sealed car park, which will cost money. But there's about 70 car parks at the front door. Just saying. So, and of course we have to get a loan, and everything has to time itself together. So we need miracles, and what I need you to do this week, please, is to pray for us. If you're new here, if you're a visitor here, pray for us anyway. Because even if you don't share the journey with us, I'm sure you wish us well as we follow the Lord. I believe we can be salt and light right in the center of our community. And I believe that we can touch the world from that point. So, is anybody excited?
Yes.
Does anybody know what I'm actually talking about? No, because I'm not allowed to say. But next week, God willing, I'll be able to fill you in on all the sordid details. And I just believe God's lining this up. It's going to take miracles, but God is in the miracle business. You know, if we're standing there with our back against the Red Sea, we are exactly where God wants us to be. Because his cloud will protect us, and then he will open a way, and then we can follow him into our destiny. So I want to encourage you to pray for that this week. We're going to go to groups in just a moment. And as we do that, I've asked our leaders, it's in your notes, leaders, if you get onto your notes section of the app. But what we want to discuss this morning is a couple of questions, not just about the church, but about you yourself. I know the Lord is speaking to many of you about your destiny. There's a couple of questions there that deal with your destiny. Have you ever seen God provide for you in the past? Have you ever seen that? We want to talk about that. We want to give examples of how God has opened the way when there didn't seem to be a way, how God has blessed us. And the second thing is, how is God leading you right now? Some of you, he's leading in different directions. Some of you, he's leading you to join us at this church. And I'm excited about that. Because God sometimes picks us up and puts us in a new place because he has more. And I know some of you have come in here and you've said, Lord, what am I to do? And God is going to open something out for you here. I really believe that. If you want a place where your ministry will flourish, I guarantee you this is that place. Because that is my heart, is to raise people up and release them into ministry, both inside the church and outside of the church as well. Had a guy say to me one time, how do you feel about ministry outside of your church? Does it upset you? I went, are you kidding? It's the kingdom of God. Why should we be upset? So you might have a ministry outside of the church. I had a ministry, still do, for 30 odd years outside of the church. I believe church is a framework to support that and let you be who God wants you to be. Let you reach for the destiny he wants you to have. And let me finish with this. I was thinking about how can I explain Ignite to someone who's new, comes in here with dreams in their heart. God gave me a great picture. Have you remember back in the days when you used to be able to travel? Like, remember those big kind of big silver things with wings? Well, back in the day, I don't know if you've ever been at an airport. If you've been in an airport and you're rushing to get to the next gate or something like that, and they've got those moving walkways, aren't they cool? And you get on them, and if you keep walking at the same pace, you're passing everybody by really quickly. And that's what our church needs to be. It's the moving walkway that when you step on it and begin to walk into your destiny, it happens much quicker. Because the walkway's moving with you, moving, walking with the Spirit. I really hate those people who get on those moving walkways and stand still. It's a moving walk way, not still way, walk way. So you get in there, I've got to catch the next flight. I've got to, excuse me. You're still zinging along, but you know. So I want to encourage you, if God is asking you to, maybe he's asking you to move to a new town. Maybe he's asking you to move to a new situation. I want to talk about how God is leading us and to share our experiences together. So we're going to pray. We're going to finish up our meeting. Some of you need to go, I know. Don't forget, Bible College isn't on this afternoon, but it will be next week. And let's just pray together. Let's bring this time to the Lord, and then we'll form our groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you led and guided your people through a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide us as a church, that you would lead and guide us as individuals, that we would follow you, that we will follow you in absolute obedience because we know that there is more for us in God. Lord, we just pray that you would open the way this week for this contract to be signed. Lord, we pray that you would open the way for this to be locked in. And Lord, we pray that you would work miracles to allow us to move. Lord, in the life of every man and woman here, that you would lead us and guide us and that you would open doors that no man can shut. Father, I pray that you would raise up ministries in this place that would reach the nations. Lord, I pray that you would raise up ministries that would draw people from our community into the church, both our church and the other churches around. Lord, may this area be the hub. May this area be an area where revival breaks out in our nation. Oh, Lord, we commit our nation to you. We pray, Father, that we will be salt and light, that we would not just be a holy huddle on a hill. We will be salt and light to our community and to our people, we pray, in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. Amen.